You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
If I don't seem quite right to you this morning, I think I have a good excuse. I had a very, very long day yesterday. One of my side jobs I have is I'm on the board of trustees at our Franciscan University up in Quincy, Illinois. And yesterday was an all-day board meeting. And started at 8:30 in the morning and went till nearly 6 in the evening. And then I had to drive 3 hours to get back home and then try to stay awake during the ball game. I did not make it. I checked out around the 6th inning and had to find out the final exciting result this morning. These board meetings, and by the way, I agreed to that job in a moment of weakness a few years ago when my superior asked me to represent our order on that board, and I don't know why I said yes, but there I am. But anyway, these board meetings drag on all day long, and we make all kind of important decisions all the way from the sublime to the nearly ridiculous. And yesterday, one of the things that came up somewhere in the middle of the afternoon, there was a proposal from the university's athletic department to purchase a certain tract of land because they needed another practice field for one of the teams. Seems that the one they were using was on a slope, which made it sort of unfair. And I right away thought of our scriptures today. I was trying to work on my homily in between the business of the meeting, and you've all heard the expression, we've got to have a level playing field. That's a figure of speech from sports, but we apply it to all forms of life. To kind of bring out our belief as Americans that we want no special treatment for anybody. We want all things to be equal all the time. No privileges, no special advantages to any side. Play on a level playing field. That's what we say in our Declaration of Independence. We believe that everybody's created equal. But the problem is, you find out very quickly in real life, it's a great theory, but it doesn't work too well. Some people are just played more equal than others. And it is so painfully obvious as you look through our world that people are not equal, at least in the way they enjoy the benefits of this earth. Some people seem to have it all, good health, lots of possessions, and other people seem to run into one form of suffering after another. So what do we do? After we proclaim the theory that we need a level playing field and total equality, right away, almost immediately, we start engineering ways to correct the inequities. You got them right here in this church. When I drove in this morning, first thing I saw was a little sign, handicapped parking space, and threatening me with a $250 fine if I broke the rule. So I went over to the free ones over a little further away from the door. But that makes sense to me. That's corrective action because people who have physical handicaps should have easy access to the entryways and things like that. And so that is a form of engineering a little more equality for people who are disadvantaged. I think we even have hearing devices here in church. I don't know. These high-tech things just get by me most of the time. But that's the way we do things. We build in ways of fixing the inequalities. And sometimes these things get a little controversial. as you know, just start up a conversation about affirmative action in its various forms to correct social and economic inequalities. So on and on the story goes, and there's the theory, and then there's the actual living it out where we have to make some changes. And it occurred to me as I was sitting through this meeting yesterday and taking a peek at the scriptures at the same time that God has a pretty good affirmative action program. Go back to the first reading in the Old Testament, the book of Sirach, part of the wisdom literature. Just to quote you a couple lines again, hear this in terms of equality, level playing field, and affirmative action. The Lord is a God of justice who knows no favorites. There you got the theory. Everybody's equal. But right away, the very next sentence, though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. And as you read through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, hearing the teaching of Jesus and the apostles, you might as well just face the fact, God has a preference for the poor and the oppressed. The scales are tilted in favor of the have-nots of the world. That's why Jesus said over and over again, so often, the last will be first and the first will be last. The people who think they are on top are going to end up on the bottom. You know the words. And so that's how you should see this parable that Jesus told in today's gospel. Two people went up to the temple to pray, and they were kind of symbolic of the haves and have-nots of his society. The Pharisee was the self-righteous one, the one who had all the privileges and advantages of his position in the community, and the tax collector, who was a symbol of sinners of all kinds, was a collaborator with the Roman oppressors and just general low life and shouldn't be given the time of day. And Jesus said they both went to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee, he didn't really pray. He was really talking to himself. As Jesus said, he said, the Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Well, that was his first mistake. Even though he said, oh God this and oh God that, he was really praising himself instead of praising the Lord. Then he proceeds to tell all of his good points. I do this and I do that. And thank God I'm not like this poor guy in the back row back here. There was everything wrong with his prayer. And that's why he did not go home justified or sanctified. And the tax collector, on the other hand, recognized his sinful condition. He knew that he had defective things about himself. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, he is the one whose prayer was heard. Not the one who went in there to kind of just puff up himself and reinforce his own lofty opinion of himself, but the one who practiced humility and acknowledged his need for God's mercy. So there's a strong lesson in this for all of us. I hope you know that we are at the 30th Sunday in ordinary time. We're getting close to the end of the church year. There's only 34. The 34th one is the Feast of Christ the King, and then we start again with Advent. So the church year tells us that. We have a couple feast days this week, which tell us the same thing, All Saints Day, All Souls Day, and even the weather, which is getting nice and crisp and chilly, and it's getting dark sooner. All of this tells us that we are coming to some kind of a decision point, and the church bids us, not morbidly, but in a serious way, to think about the fact that we are going to be judged both individually and collectively at the end of our lives. And so we need to ask ourselves whether or not we are the tax collector or the Pharisee in our prayer life. Where do we stand in our scorecard with God? And I don't know about you, but I always kind of figure when I get to the last judgment, whether it's my own individual judgment or the one where you all going to be there with me, I'm going to need a whole real good affirmative action program from God. I mean, if there aren't a few ways to excuse certain things and to even the playing field, I am going to be in serious trouble. And I suspect that every single one of us, in our honesty, would have to say the same thing. We need God's mercy. There are things about ourselves that we cannot justify, and we need to say with this guy in the back of the temple, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then, once we can say that honestly, then we can move from there to our dealings with one another as we live in this world, kind of preparing the kingdom for the day of judgment. And if we expect God to have mercy on us, if we expect God to have affirmative action working in our favor, then we had best be ready to practice it with relationship to one another. And so you just can't find yourself in this position where this Pharisees, look at all the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous. We've got to get out of the judgment business and leave that to God. Jesus said in some other place in the scripture, "Judge not, and you will not be judged." So we got to stop judging one another, be kind and merciful to one another, and allow for human weakness, and then God will judge us with mercy as well. We come to celebrate the Eucharist as we do every time we gather, and I always like to think of it in one way as a kind of a dress rehearsal for the Last Judgment. And right before we receive the Lord in Holy Communion, we're going to all pray with this tax collector and with that Roman centurion that Jesus met one time, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, bend the rules a little bit, and my soul will be healed." Praise God, we have a God who is merciful and looks at the poor and the oppressed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.